Oh my gosh, a federal building is being attacked. A real federal building, like the Capitol, but in a different state, by terrorists. We better sound the alarms. We better do 24/7 back-to-back coverage talking about how could we let these terrorists attack a building that's paid for and funded by the people. Of course, we're not talking about that because this is a terrorist attack by left-wing individuals. In fact, probably mostly communists. So we don't ever talk about that. We're just going to keep talking about what happened a few months ago at the Capitol building. Meanwhile, all of these pansexual communist black clad wearing Antifa members are busy trying to burn down a building. But no. We don't care because Joe Biden is supposedly the president, or he's a hologram. Not sure if you know about that one. And I have a great guest to come on with me today to talk about the rise of Antifa under the supposed Biden administration. John Doyle, the host of Heck Off Commie on YouTube. True. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here. So I'm sure if you might have seen this video, actually, do you ever watch The View?
Yeah, no, one of my dreams is to go on The View.
Okay, well, you know, if you ever work for The Blaze, don't talk about abortion. But Joy Behar actually recently was just talking in, she talked about the rise of Antifa recently, who have been rioting around Portland, around Seattle, around Los Angeles, which we're going to get into today. And she had this to say.
Right out there with his racism, there's no dog whistle for him. You know, it's like, I'm a racist. Mm-hmm. Have a nice day. You know what I mean? I guess, you know, it's funny. When I was watching this, it's so aggravating to listen to this idiot. I mean, he and I are very different. I'll tell you this right now. If I was surrounded by people carrying weapons, people erecting nooses, screaming, hang Mike Pence, bludgeoning a police officer to death, I might be a little scared. But Ron, no, he's not scared of those people. He's scared of this. This fictitious idea of Antifa, a thing that doesn't even exist. He needs to go. He needs to go, and soon.
Sonny,
did you hear two conspiracy theories in this one?
My favorite part about these like manufactured, oh, go off sis moments is that she's like trying to, you know, and then she keeps looking down at her notes because she doesn't actually know what she's saying because she didn't write it herself.
And she also said that my favorite government funded or government inspired conspiracy theories, I say funded, right? Because we know the CIA is heavily involved in the corporate media. That's actually true. Is that she said that, you know, there were Trump supporters that were bludgeoning a police officer to death on the Capitol, at the Capitol. False story.
Yeah,
Officer Sicknick was not bludgeoned to death at the Capitol. That is a propaganda conspiracy theory that is still spread to this day.
Hey, but you know what? It's free speech. It's free speech to convince millions of people that Trump supporters should effectively be genocided.
Yeah, because they killed. I like even what Beto O'Rourke said. He said that we bludgeoned to death many officers, actually. He said multiple, which was a really important factor. They're not only inventing the first one, they're inventing multiple ones after that.
Yeah, that's something that I've tried to really communicate to my audience is that, you know, we have limitations on the First Amendment. Like, you can't go into a crowded theater and yell fire, I think, is the most common example. So what's the effective difference between that and going on national television and saying two statements, saying Nazis are bad and we should kill Nazis, and then saying Trump supporters are Nazis? You're not saying kill Trump supporters, but you're making it very clear what the connection should be. Like, at what point does that stop being free speech? I mean, we know that there's violence against Trump supporters, conservatives more broadly speaking, and it's like being literally incited by this sort of rhetoric from the mainstream media. So like, at what point do we step in and say you can't actually get away with that just because you're like a private company or whatever?
Yeah, and I think that that's important because as they spread this propaganda, guys, she also said that as Antifa's on the rise, we're going to look at their attacks across the nation. Just this weekend and this week, she said they are fictitious, which is a second conspiracy theory spread by Jerry Nadler, who said that they were a myth. And on that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have 8K graphics. We now call it confetti of color. We were calling it colored confetti, but as we learned with Steven Crowder almost getting canceled for saying colored farmers, the color always follows the noun.
Yeah, that's why it wasn't. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
As you can see, our set is finally getting a little bit better. We are more representing the transgender flag. That's always been my goal here, to give as much trans representation ever, YouTube. And that's most important. But before we jump into today's amazing clips that were captured by some very brave journalists across the nation, I want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's show. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you about Scoremaster. See, Scoremaster is not just credit repair. A lot of us wonder, well, you know, maybe you don't look at your credit score, you don't care about it. Maybe you just wonder what it is. I'm telling you, your credit score is as important as your social security number. And the fact that if it is high, you get better rates on your car insurance, on your home loans. You can get better rates on refinancing, even your student loans like I did. And this is not just fixing mistakes or helping you bring your score up. This is actually credit science, and it helps you get up your points fast. In fact, a lot of an average users of ScoreMaster add 61 points in 20 days or less, and you can get your points up that fast, honestly, to help you save up to $100,000 on a home loan over the life of it, or for most of you guys, to apply for a better credit card or even to get a new car. ScoreMaster is even great for mortgage brokers who need an edge and actually getting their clients better deals. I'm going to tell you this right now. ScoreMaster can help you get the rates that you need. There is nothing more important. Right now, go to scoremaster.com/offense. That's scoremaster.com/offense and find out how you can raise your score up to 61 points in just a few days. It's amazing. I encourage you to check it out. Let's talk about this. So Antifa has not gone away. They were rioting over the weekend in Seattle and Portland, Los Angeles in response to Breonna Taylor. If we can just play a video to show you that they are not fictitious. So this is in Seattle. This is the bike police working here with some medics of Antifa who decided that they were going to break windows and start getting maced and start fighting. I mean, we thought this was going to go away under the once the Trump administration was pushed out through the most honest and fair means possible. Mm-hmm. But it's back on the rise. I mean, does this surprise you?
No, not at all. It's actually very fun. I don't know. You've spent more time in these crowds than I have, but I'm always fascinated by like the people LARPing as like medics, because 90% of them, like their entire perception of what it means to be like a field medic is just like applying pressure to a wound, which I think is kind of funny.
They often put tourniquets on rubber bullet wounds, which effectively could cause amputation. And I think what's really important here is as you look at how I would say monotonous this is. The reason why I haven't been talking about riots a lot is because I feel just numb to them.
Yeah.
I think we're desensitized. Like, we've seen the worst of the worst. We've seen Kenosha. We've seen, government buildings raided. That I think that watching, you know, transgender and pansexual degenerate rejects of society in black clothing getting maced in the face, it just becomes a normal weekend occurrence that there's nothing surprising about this.
Yeah. And it's not going away anytime soon. I mean, the most obvious, I guess, predicted riot in the future would be after Derek Chauvin. Cause if he's not convicted of first degree murder, like any acquittal or anything less than
it's gonna
that,
burn.
They're going to riot. Everything's going to
burn. Oh, and I will be there. Savannah, we're going to be there.
Y'all like my background? I feel like we're in a spaceship now. We got an upgrade so quick.
Yeah, and you're slanted. We got a lot of work still to do in the studio.
I'm a little bit slanted, but still excited about the future riots. Not excited, actually sad about that, you know, that being the state of our country, but yeah, we'll be there.
And I want to go through some of this footage. So obviously she said this is fictitious. This is the narrative that's being spread, that under Joe Biden, there's peace, that these anarchists are not spreading their hatred. We have this video. You can just put it on the background. I like how somebody on Twitter is on my level, that they literally titled this video, So the regular first burning of the trash can begins. Like this is just that's how nights start in Portland. Like everybody knows it's just like kind of like the cannons in Hunger Games. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
here goes the trash can burns. And we know that Starbucks is about to lose its 700th window this year.
Yeah. So true.
I know, and we have more of this too. So like, and so what's funny is that under the guise of Biden, the Biden administration, Biden is fecklessly useless. Like, he is absolutely not available. There are rumors right now that he's actually a hologram. Did you hear about that?
I haven't heard that specifically, but I did see a video that people were alleging had been doctored. Like, he was walking out to take questions from reporters and his hand actually overlaps where the microphones are, which it seems like it should. It just looks weird to the eye. And so people were like putting in slow motion. People think that it was like a green screen, like he had walked out and they had put that picture in the background and made it look like he was actually like walking and taking questions from reporters. But yeah, it's kind of epic how we're like literally living under an illegitimate regime. Not even like, you know, the election, you know, whatever that is, the borrowed election, as you say, but like literally the people who are supposedly running things are just not. And it's never been more obvious in the history of our country than it is now. It's kind of cool, you know, in a way.
Did you see the video? Which I just want you to like put this on the screen. This is the world we live in. Like you said, like we're in Mad Max. Check this out. An Apple
we're
store.
If we were in Mad Max, I'd have a harem.
That's actually true. And maybe more people would die that should, but I'm not going to say that out loud on my show, but I'm just going to say this. So like, see this, this is a security barrier that went up around Portland's Apple store after it was destroyed last year during the George Floyd riots. And they have decided to open this up. Like, we are in a point where we've accepted the normalcy of the fact that like, we have to put up security barriers around our computer stores because anarchists might just destroy it. And we have to just accept that. And Savannah was telling me the same thing. We do not have to accept this. And I know Savannah has some strong opinions on this. Like, why are we accepting that these anarchists are just allowed on our streets to just do this and we have to accommodate them?
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was telling you this morning, Elijah. I was basically just talking about how, you know, face masks every day isn't normal. Burning buildings down isn't normal. Black Lives Matter and Antifa silencing journalists and citizens on the streets is not normal. Having a hologram for a president is not normal. The fact that Joe Biden doesn't even remember his own damn name is not normal. Why have we as a society, you know, succumbed to this new normal? We should be pushing back against this harder than ever because it's not normal. And we need more people to keep standing up against it because we have at this point, you know, just decided that this is how society should be.
Go off, sis. That was so insightful.
Yes, queen.
But I mean, doesn't it make you mad that it's like, it's like, oh yeah, our response to this as an America, like what happened to the seriousness of our country? There are anarchists on our streets.
It's the clown pill.
It's true. Do you guys see this? Actually, one of our viewers, I want to give a huge shout out, by the way, specifically, and I will put the name in the description, actually, of these. It's hard for me to read it, but he actually made us a clown pill nightlight with a detachable clown pill that has a clown pill in his mouth. It's like triple clown pilled, which is actually should be a new phrase, whether it's double clown or triple crown, a clown, because, you know, you have like double stack, triple stack. This is literally we're at.
That in itself, to me, not only like is obviously a clown pill, but it's almost a metaphorical clown pill, because I came on the show, I dropped the term, and then I come in today and you're like, hey, look what someone sent me. And it's like, I didn't get a clown pill, but you did. So like that in itself.
If you're watching this, he would love his own clown pill.
Yeah, I would. You know, I used to think my life was a tragedy, but now I realize it's a comedy.
No, and I know this. And can we bring my screen up here, Savannah, real fast? Like to show you exactly like how violent these people are, right? They say like, oh, Antifa's fictitious. Look at those fictional grenades. Look at the fictional, I don't know if that's like that. Look at the fictional mace. Look at the fictional handguns.
Those are all just a hologram, actually. Yeah, that's fake. Just like Joe Biden.
Look at this. This is all fake. And that's the world we're living in, where they tell you not to believe your eyes. They're like, there's a fence going up around a phone store.
Yeah.
And people are being caught with grenades and guns. And they're like, oh, our only goal is to put up some fences, not to maybe like imprison these people for life or worse. And I'm not calling for that. I'm just saying that's crazy that our response is to be and to go on the defense and be like, well, we're just going to like, we're going to hide. And it's like, no, let's take our country back from these pathetic, degenerate losers. Like these people literally do not deserve to be in this country and they do not deserve to have freedom. They are enemy combatants of the United States. I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm not going extremist on people who think differently. I'm talking about people who arm themselves and attack private property and government buildings should receive the same penalty of federal crackdown as the Capitol rioters who did the same. If they're going to receive that crackdown and be put in jail for up to 20 years for taking a tour of the Capitol building and breaking Nancy Pelosi's printer, then if you set a federal building on fire, you damn well better get 20 years yourself.
That's what we do if we were a serious country. I often think to myself and almost like brings tears to my eyes, like what would happen if we were actually a serious country? If we were China, like this, a similar structure, we might not be free because we can't call our president a cheetah or something. But if someone tried to do something like that, like tear down a statue of a founding father, they would be executed on the National Mall in Minecraft. Like, of course, we're not advocating for that, but like that is what a serious
country would do. In a video game, that would happen.
Yeah, in a video game.
Mm-hmm. But not in real life. Because we're not advocating for anything in real life here.
That's not what.
And like, look at this. So check this out. In this next video, if you can put on the screen, the city of Portland, led by Ted Wheeler, who some say in bed is known as Mr. Squealer, but I don't know. This is the Mark O. Hatfield Federal Courthouse. I spent a lot of time here. People could remember this is videos by BG on the scene, Brandon Gutschwager, one of the few last reporters that's not attacked by Antifa because he's neutral. This is the courthouse and they have to put a security barrier around it. They had just taken this down a few days earlier because they were like, oh, Biden's in office, peace has returned, let's take down the barrier. And as we saw that first video, I don't know if you can bring it back on the screen, the opening video. This was the night that they took down the barrier. They tried to light the courthouse on fire, which shows you that there's no turning back to normal at this point. And I want people to understand that as Antifa is like rising again, they never went away. They're still not fictitious. They weren't a myth while while Trump was president. They weren't fictitious while Biden is supposedly president. The key thing is as we look at this, we are living in an age where we're going, it is normal to have security barriers in our capital. It is normal to have security barriers in our city, in our state, around our federal buildings. This isn't normal. And I'm not going to accept it as normal. And something damn well needs to change. Because when you look at this and you look at the absolute totality of what's happening in our states, who's allowing this? It's us. It's the people. The government has no power. It's perceived threat, especially in Portland. And most officers that I speak to in Portland, I have a lot of good contacts in Rose City Police, are sick of this BS. They're tired of it and they're done with it. Not the police commissioner, full of crap, not the city council, full of crap, but just the normal Leo law enforcement officer is like, I have my hands tied and America's in the same position. Like, what the hell do we do?
That's the problem, is that the people who are in the lower levels who would actually be responding to these things are like ready to go. We saw the same thing in Detroit. Detroit actually has done a really good job of not burning down. I was really proud of that, especially because it's considered to be like the armpit of the country. We're a little violent. You know, we do a little violence, whatever. But that's the problem, is it's the people who are the higher ups who have these ideologies that are telling the people on the lower ends to stand down, because they know that destabilizing the country will lead to the people being anxious and begging for more power, just to create some sort of, or not power, I guess, abdicating their own power, just to create a sense of stability and order within society. And so the reason that Antifa types are allowed to just literally do whatever they want with impunity, whereas Trump supporters take some silly pictures in the Capitol and then they go to prison for 20 years, is because it's fundamentally about viewing Antifa and those types as an extension, almost a paramilitary extension, of the same broader coalition, which is against the traditional American types who actually like give a about this country, which would be people like us, people on the right, more generally speaking, people who just like wouldn't want to burn a flag. Just as like a middle finger to the people who built this country.
And can I just jump in on this as well? Because I noticed the exact same thing in Portland, Elijah. So I don't know if you guys both remember this footage, actually, but an Antifa group tried to go to, I guess it was like a big Trump supporter. They were holding a party for their child. And Antifa members came into their neighborhood midday, and the Trump supporters kicked all of their asses and they ended up running away.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it was a video that went viral a while back. And I was like, why is this the vibe in Texas? Whereas in Portland, Antifa is every single night flashing, you know, flashlights in people's windows and terrorizing the community. And like you said, Elijah, it's because that's what the residents allow. If you do go to Portland and you watch as they walk through those neighborhoods, you'll see that a lot of people are on their porches, like cheering on Antifa and clapping and, you know, holding up their Biden signs. Are holding up their pro-Antifa signs so they don't get attacked. Whereas in Texas, we fight back and people push back, which is why you don't see as big of a community here.
Yeah, it's because they've been cucked into submission. Mm-hmm. And that's why I want to bring up this article. If you can go to my screen, this is like really important. Oh, I don't know why this is so zoomed in, Sav, but okay, we'll just go with it. So East 38th Street and Chicago Avenue South, the intersection where George Floyd died, is surrounded by barricades and patrolled by Black Bloc activists who have transformed the memorial site into an autonomous zone. The area is informally referred to as a no-go zone because of reports that police are either hesitant to respond to calls directly within the zone or are met with resistance when they attempt to do so. This reminds me of certain people zones in Sweden and stuff, the people that you don't can't draw their God.
I'm not fundamentally against those.
But this no-go zones I'm against.
Really?
I'm against no-go zones. I'm against the autonomous zones because listen to this. Police are not allowed to get into the area. I want to hear why, though. Said Kim Griffin, a relative of Imaz Wright, who was shot and killed in a no-go zone on March 6th, right? They're killing people. It was made clear law enforcement was not welcome to penetrate the zone. A statement from Minneapolis Police Department said officers were met with interference at the scene. A reporter was even chased out. Now look at this. Hannah Brett and her fiance are now grappling with the fact that they own and live in a house in the middle of an autonomous zone with no end in sight. Meaning we've tolerated the fact that people can just annex sections of neighborhoods and just kick out law enforcement, and not in the name of liberty, but in the name of foreign ideas. These are homeowners. These are American citizens. These are people. Like, if this happened in Iraq, we would have a rescue exit team that would go in and would literally shoot them if they were just brown. But if you're dressed in Black Bloc, the key thing about this is she said it's fictitious. It says here that the people that are patrolling the streets that are kicking the police out are Black Bloc, aka Antifa. They refuse to use the phrase Antifa. They are Antifa. That is what they're called. Like, call them what they are.
Yeah, the most cringe part, in my opinion, about these paramilitary types on the left is that all of the weapons that they have, you can tell that they only own because they saw them in, like, comic books or in movies. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you'll see them with, like, Desert Eagles because Deadpool uses them, or, like, things like that. Like, they don't have practical weaponry. It's always just these very, like, oh, I have Fortnite, so I have, like, a Scar-L or something like that. It's really cringe. And then the thing that's really degrading about it is, like, if you get shot by one of those people and you're, like, dying, and then you just realize you got murdered by, like, a soy boy with a Desert Eagle, it's just, like... I would hate that. What a waste.
It's embarrassing. I know. When I was at Chaz, the autonomous zone there in Seattle, the guy had a Deagle, like, just straight up, like, on with, like, a chest strap, like, just open hanging. And I'm going, well, how does that, like, you just go, like, and, like, what, like, where's, what is the purpose of that? I guess, I don't know.
That is that's one of the ways you can rig it.
But what's the point of, like, literally guarding a gate with, like, a Desert Eagle strapped to your chest?
Did he have a rifle in his hand, or was it just, like...
No, literally just, like, standing there with, like, a baton and, like, a Desert Eagle, like, on his chest. And I thought that was very weird.
It's stupid, too, because the Desert Eagle is, like, such a massive... I don't know if it was, like, a 44 loser. Or, like, a 50.
Total loser.
It's not, like, a practical... It's, like, literally, you know that he only had it to, like, peacock and be like, look at me, I have a Desert
Eagle. And they pulled the gun out on my Uber driver. That was the weirdest part. He's a POC, right? Mm. A person of color, as we're calling them today. Savannah included. Don't say the wrong phrase around her, or she'll call the ADL and sick those people on you.
So true.
But he pulled the gun out and pointed at my Uber's head and told him to leave it. He wasn't allowed there. And that's my point. Is like, why is that guy just not shot on sight? Like, if you pull a gun out on an Uber driver, you probably deserve to die.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's annoying, too, is you watch any of the clips of these Antifa types becoming aggressive, it's not like a masculine aggression. Like, you'll watch, remember the one video of the woman who was protesting against abortion, and there was that guy there, and he was kind of doing this little dance, and then he, like, did a spin kick and, like, kicked her? Remember that video?
That was a man that kicked?
Yeah.
I thought that was a woman.
Well, the point being that on his face, you can see in his eyes, like, he's not actually, like, angry, or he doesn't really have any convictions. He's just doing it as a performance. It was, like, theater to him, and then he just so happened to, like, use himself as a weapon. But, like, even with these guns, like, it's all a game to them. They don't have, like, any, like, real feelings about it. Like, they're just doing it because they're pathetic.
They're LARPing.
True.
Do you get turned on by these guys? I mean, do they...
Nothing turns me on more than a 100-pound skinny white man screaming Antifa and communism must rule America in my face.
All right, John, never scream Antifa and communism in her face.
I don't think
Sav... turn her on.
Sav is effectively asexual at this point. She's like, what, 24? You're pretty dried up.
Yeah, you know, we talk about this all the time, that I'm pretty much past my prime. It's only downhill from here.
I would say thousands of commenters would beg to differ. I think she has, like, what, like 10 marriage proposals a day at this point?
Only 12, actually.
Okay, that's actually a true statement. Which is actually close to my 14. But I want to bring this up before we go any further, guys. I'm going to tell you about something very, very important. And I'm really encouraging you to engage with this. My son Hunter, the mainstream media, is shunning this video, and it's amazing. And big tech have worked tirelessly to cover up the entire corruption of the Biden family and Hunter Biden. You know that. You understand it. You know how many Biden voters even said that if they knew about the laptop of Hunter, that they would have changed their mind, not voted for him. Well, luckily, somebody brought this whole corruption scandal into a movie, and you have a chance to help make the story heard around the world. See, the filmmakers behind the Gosnell movie have announced a brand new project. It's a feature film called My Son Hunter that will expose the Hunter Biden scandal. You can learn more at mysonhuntermovie.com. Now, this movie will tell it all. I'm telling you, everything you need to know that you probably don't even know yet. Hunter's wild escapades, the contents of his laptop, his shady foreign business deals, and even his ties to China. But these independent filmmakers need your help, guys, and that's why we are pushing this right now. Hollywood does not want you to fund this movie. They don't want us to fund this movie. It's too controversial. It exposes the truth behind some of the most powerful people in politics, and that's why they're bringing this film directly to the people to get it funded by you. So please, right now, your gift of $10, $50, or $100 or more will help expose the most corrupt family in politics since the Clintons. And that's saying something. And your donation is 100% tax deductible. That's awesome. That is really awesome. I know where I'm sending some money. Please go to mysonhuntermovie.com right now to make your donation. That's mysonhuntermovie.com to make your donation. Remember, it's tax deductible. Don't forget to donate to your church or wherever you donate, synagogue or whatever it is. But also please donate to mysonhuntermovie.com and let's get this movie greenlit. So as we're exposing corruption, can you go to the video right now of Seattle Starbucks destroyed? Antifa destroyed a Starbucks. Okay. And they're very big on destroying Starbucks specifically. I think I've not only walked into the Capitol building following rioters, but I've probably been in about a dozen Starbucks in the last 6 months. They just shatter the windows.
Why particularly Starbucks?
Well, I know it started in Seattle, and it's crushed the coffee scene in Seattle, which is where a lot of these people are around. Have you ever noticed that you try to find a good coffee place and it's just Starbucks everywhere? Yeah, so I know that it started in Seattle and that they really like to destroy it because it's sort of like a sign of oppressive, capitalism. And as well as they like to attack Amazon stores and outlets as well.
Yeah, what was the line in Fight Club? It was like the Starbucks galaxy, Planet Microsoft or something. The big corporations were going to decide the future of the world.
Well, I know that they like to destroy them. That's what I was going to say, is it's not a fictional fight. And this is what's really weird to me, too, is that like I think that they allow and continue to tolerate this because I think that they know that as long as Antifa gets street credit for breaking a window, which they have a very hard time doing. I don't know if you've seen them. They're very weak. Remember that video, Savannah, where the guy like broke his hand trying to break a window?
Yeah, he has like his baton and he's like hitting it for a good 5 minutes. And then he's just like, it's not working.
He just gave up.
It's not going to.
You've got to be pretty weak to be unable to break a window.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
That was such a profound answer, John. Yeah. Yeah.
See, the thing is, though, people like watch me for my commentary and my insight. They only look at you because you're a woman.
Why is this the roast of Sav today?
I'm just saying,
I'm
like,
sorry.
Your window is closing.
The sheer audacity.
Oh my gosh.
It's called slightly offensive.
No, okay. So, but the reason why I'm going to say what's funny is that the police don't care. They never stop Antifa, right? So somebody tried to stand up to Antifa. Said, I've been attacked by you guys and you don't scare me. And I think this is what's happening is people are becoming, they're becoming Antifa-pilled.
That's my favorite thing. Like we were in DC at the Million MAGA March and we were walking to the march and there was this guy who was following this group of like middle-aged white women who are, you know, decked out in Trump stuff as the boomers do. And they told us, cause you know, we're some strapping young lads. They were like, he's following us. And you know, I had like my full MAGA suit on with the, you know, the red tie and the overcoat. And we told them to like, leave him alone. Which isn't white knighting, by the way. If they're middle-aged women, if like they're moms, it's not white knighting. And so he started following us. And then I was like, oh yeah, let's go. And so we were walking towards him. And then he like immediately like turned away. And it was just so cool. Like looking that in the face and then them immediately just capitulating because like they're LARPing and they're not actually brave or courageous or even capable of like handling the conflict. It's like straight into my veins.
No, do you know that when they told me that I was anti-trans and I told them that I was legally non-binary, that they like stood down after I showed them my ID, which probably wasn't wise, but I showed them my ID and showed them that I had revoked my male gender and I'm gender X.
So you really are legally non-binary.
Yeah, $35.
Oh my gosh. Dude, and you know what? On this topic as well, last BLM protest that I was covering in Austin, Texas, I got mobbed by 10 people at once. But like you said, John, as soon as you push back and as soon as I like swung at one of them, all of them backed off.
Yeah, little pussy boys. Honestly,
Sav swung at Antifa.
I did. I got mobbed by 10 of them.
Everybody clapped.
Yoda
clapped.
Yoda. That's literally like, you remember Yoda in Attack of Clones? And you were like, he's like, oh, and then you go, oh my gosh. And you see him fight and you're going, that's, oh my gosh, a little like, that's her fighting.
Like in Star Wars, like in Star Wars.
That's literally her.
He's like Soy Jack.
That's literally her. She's like a little small person that you would not want to fight
and
her.
And then the Eagles swooped in and saved Frodo. It's just like Lord of the Rings.
Literally, honestly, don't give this woman a knife. Honestly, she would. It's true.
Elijah lives in fear every day. But hey, that's why the show is going so smoothly and we've seen so much progress.
Brittany's not the only one who needs to be freed. I need help. Follow my lips.
You know what, Elijah? I'm muting your mic.
So Seattle's also the Antifa are continuing to attack people. Let's put up this footage where a man in Seattle is actually attacked. What you see here is they tend to travel in hordes like ants, right? And of course, he's just a passerby. I mean, he's got two things against him, probably his blood pressure and also the pressure of these communists. So they start to lay hands on him, which is assault. He's wearing a mask. He's probably a liberal. He's wearing a fedora, which should be illegal, but it's not. And he's walking and he's filming these people while there's police, by the way, tracking them. They can see that there's some sort of altercation. There's they're seeing the altercation. And the man's like, I'm just going to film you guys, you know? And they end up, I don't know why we missed the part where they push him down, but they're not just fighting him. They're also fighting police. We have this footage from Los Angeles where they actually got in front of, I know where this Taco Bell is. This is right by where I used to live, actually. Look at this. They're fighting the police officers. I mean, why can't our police just like maul them?
I know.
Like, I'm not even that pro police, really. I'm not.
Neither am I.
I don't really like the police that much.
Yeah.
I think that's like where, like, I'm like, what is that called? Like, I'm not conservapilled on that. Like, people are like, yeah, back the blue. And was like, that, ah, I'm not a fan of the police.
Well, it's really like a theory that I've been pushing for a while, which I might go back to college just to write this paper. It's referred to as the horseshoe theory of practical intelligence. And it's like you have the low IQ people who are like, police are bad. Or no, I guess police would be, yeah, police are good. You know, we need to catch the robbers. Then you have like the middle IQ people who are like, no, actually, no, it's the inverse. Basically, we're on the same page here in that like conservatives have this like Blue Lives Matter attitude as a response to the anti-police activity from people like this. And we're like, well, we need people to, you know, stop them. So let's be pro-police. But like, really, the police are just an extension of the state, of the regime. And when that regime is going around arresting Christians at church because they're not wearing masks or social distancing or they're breaking up things like that, are arresting Trump supporters for occupying area that Antifa are also occupying, but you know they don't go after them. It's like, are we really going to like support those guys? I mean, they're basically just following orders. And if those orders are against people like us, like where should our allegiance really be to?
Yeah, and I'm not against law enforcement officer. Like, I don't think innately, like I think most law enforcement officers I meet are pretty like awesome chads that just love the country. They love their fellow citizens, but there's a good amount of them that are literally just following orders. And that's what worries me is that it's the people that are commanding them and they're also allegiance and their oath to follow those orders.
Exactly. So it's not like we're anti-police. We're just, you know, skeptical of authority.
Right. I think taking a middle ground is a good position on that. And that's why, like, if you see this in this video in Los Angeles, right, again, by where I lived, I dealt with a lot of Antifa. I'd just walk out of my house. There would be protests and riots. Also, a lot of human feces. They push this man down to the ground. So there's like just this is Hollywood Boulevard. This is just right there chilling, the Walk of Fame. They pushed him down, you know? And Black Bloc, by the way, I want to bring this up, is important, is they have been very dormant in Los Angeles for the last several years as they've been proud and growing in Portland and Seattle. Now there's a rise, and we're going to see, I predict this, a rise of violence, a rise also perhaps of more transgenders, more homosexuals, things that don't, it's irrelevant. I've just said the fact that it is odd that most Antifa are transgender and homosexual, but in Los Angeles, a lot of Antifa are actually Black and Hispanic. They're not white in Los Angeles. That's because there aren't a lot of white people in Los Angeles in general. And there's just a lot of white people up there. But it shows you that this is a cross ethnic cancerous ideology, and it's spreading to Los Angeles. It's becoming a little more violent in Los Angeles, I would say. They're attacking the police more.
No, it's funny too, because like you said, with them all just being disproportionately LGBT, their biggest problem with fascism is just that it would probably be less easy to just be openly gay and like, not even openly, like empirically. Yeah, no, that would be the word, like empirically gay or like evangelically gay. Like their problems with fascism aren't like the worship of the state, the atheism, the politically motivated violence. Like all their problems with fascism are basically like, oh, I wouldn't be able to be gay. And anything that wants me to not be able to do that is fascism. So that's why they're against it, because they have no identity, because we're not allowed to have identity anymore. We're just a big shopping mall. And so they've just put everything into this like socially manufactured idea of like my identity as whatever place they put themselves on the spectrum, and then they go and beat people up in mobs.
Yeah, and I know that. And I think what's really interesting about this is as we look at that, you know, when Joy Behar says that it's fictitious, right? That's the world that we're living in. That's the interesting thing that I want to bring up, that people ask me, why am I not out on the field? Not only am I not sure if I'm allowed to fly still, but so there's that one. There's that small little factor. But there's also the factor of the fact that I don't believe recording these people right now is what America needs. Like, I'm calculating my next moves because we know that they're real. And I spent a year, sacrificed my safety. I have, you know, permanent scarring in my mouth. I have problems, you know, some very serious problems. No, I think I suffer with a bit of PTSD, just a lot of like, I have ringing in my ears from so many flashbangs all the time. My hair was falling out from tear gas and being in gas so much. I had to get like medical stuff to make sure my hair wouldn't fall out anymore. And I mean, and my problem with my vision, even like my friends Drew, his vision went out from all the flashbangs. It'd get glasses. Like, I mean, this stuff really does take a physical toll on you. Plus the fact is, you know, I was only home 2 weeks a month, usually takes a toll on your marriage. It's hard spiritually. It's hard to remain. I lost connection with my church. I mean, I didn't, you know, give my life. I'm not some hero, but I did pay a cost. And you know what? And what's the final result? That these people are actually fictitious. Like 9-10 months of grueling work with dozens of other people. Sav herself got jumped out there, lost stuff. And then isn't it a slap in the face to then it's been like, oh, by the way, all your footage is a lie.
That is one of the most frustrating parts about this is that, like you said, we've put our lives on the lines. I also, too, like, I honestly haven't gone out and reported because I'm scared to go out because the last time that I did by myself, I got mobbed by 10 people. I got punched. I got my phone stolen. So this is, again, going back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this show. It's not normal to silence, one, citizens, and two, journalists on the street. So the fact that this is now a normalcy, not only that, but we have people in media, we have politicians saying that this is a myth and fictitious. It is a slap in the face, like you said, because these people aren't going out and putting their lives on the line to go and expose this crap. They're sitting behind a desk all day saying, yeah, it's just not real.
That's the problem, is because those people control the narrative and the power structure. So I don't know if I would be demoralized because, like, I've said this before, I stand by this. I think that you were the most consequential journalist in all of 2020 because it was your footage that you got with the sacrifices that you just mentioned that woke so many people up to what's actually happening. And so that footage still exists and people have seen it. You know, you'd post a video of Antifa beating the crap out of a guy because he, like, defended his door or something, and it would get like 2 million views. The president would retweet it. So
more,
like,
than that. Like, yeah. 10 to 30 million yeah. views.
Okay, all right.
No, bad. But what I'm trying to say is, like, the reach, like, that many people got woken up.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is, like, I don't know if I would take it as a slap in the face so much as, like, a badge of honor. Like, that's what you would expect them to do if you were being effective. So it's just indicative of the fact that you were gaining momentum and you were being effective.
See, I agree to a point, but then you have journalists like myself who are banned off of Twitter, and the other repercussion
of
that
like
is
myself
that
are banned off
yeah,
Twitter.
You know, we're both banned on Twitter, John, but the thing is, like, again, the big tech has the ability to completely erase everything that we are exposing of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And so then when Joy Behar says, yeah, a Dallas shop owner was never beaten to a pulp because they deleted Elijah's Twitter and we're not able to find that B-roll anymore. Okay, well, then maybe it is fictitious.
Right, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to rewrite history. And that's why I want to bring up this article. Can you go to this for a second, Sav? Is that the problem with this is that we're living in a world where a poll was taken. This is from the Post-Millennial. It says that an increasing number of liberals believe that political violence is justified. It's so weird for people that are against fascism to actually believe in political violence. That's because they're communists, right? That's actually the truth.
Yeah.
A poll by the American National Election Studies Organization, ANES, found that the percentage of left-wing Americans who believe violence is sometimes justifiable for political purposes has grown since 2016. There's Flo, free ad for Progressive. The question asking, how much do you feel it is justified for people to use violence to pursue their political goals in this country? Oh, what the heck? Found that respondents who considered themselves liberal or very liberal were less likely to answer that political violence was not at all justified. Respondents' answers were compared to answers to the same question asked during the previous election in 2016. The polls found that those who say violence is not at all justified and self-identified as liberals fell by 5.3%, while those who self-identified as very liberal fell by a tremendous 20.4%. So, meaning this is coming to a point where all this indoctrination and propaganda is to train these people to be okay with what they finally want, which is not Antifa. This is all just gaslighting for the future. They actually want to murder us. They want to genocide the nationalists. They want to genocide the people who believe in Christian values. They want to genocide the conservatives. They want to genocide the right wing. They want you to be comfortable and desensitized to all of this. And that was, I think, their plan in 2020 this whole time, was to get you ready for what's going to happen next.
No, absolutely. Even if you look at the historical record, like, when communists take power, what do? They purge the opposition. Who are we? The opposition. And people don't really realize that because they want to focus on, like, well, Dr. Seuss is getting banned now and stuff like that. It's like, bro, you are, like, probably 10 years away from standing on either side of, like, a mass grave, either in it or, like, putting people into it, you know?
We'll go in holding hands. I'll hold your hand. I'll hold your hand.
I appreciate that.
Well, anyways, guys, you know, as I mentioned, you know, Antifa is back on the rise. They're here and they're here to stay. And the violence is continuing. And we are calculating our next moves. We're not going to stop exposing them. It's very important, by the way, that you remember that because of censorship, because of getting deleted, that now more than ever, it's important that you support us at blazetv.com/Elijah. This is a way that you can continue to support us at the show and prevent us from being deplatformed. No matter if we get deleted here on YouTube or on Rumble or even on Odyssey, which we are now on, I'm telling you, this is very important that you support us directly at blazetv.com/Elijah. It also tells the Blaze that you love the show and you want to continue things. And I have some big things planned with them coming up soon. That's going to allow more news, more coverage, and a lot more of what you love today. And anyways, if you, you know, we love that you support our sponsors. We love that you support us at Blaze TV, but a free way you can support us if you make it this far in the podcast. As I mentioned, I hope you love the podcast if you get this far, 40 minutes in, because if you don't love the podcast and you make it this far, you need to figure out something to do with your time, because it's very not constructive. Would you say, John, to be spending time watching things that you don't enjoy?
I would take it farther. I take personal offense to that.
Like, yeah. If you don't like it, people are like, I hate your show. I'm like, why do you watch it? But if you do like it, or if you hate it, let us know and leave us a 5-star review. As we grow, this helps us. As you know, we're demonetized here on YouTube. We're demonetized across the board. The way that we fund the show is by people knowing and advertisers knowing that you love this show and they read our reviews and it supports us and keeps all of our work alive and well. And it allows John to sit in an awesome $9 Staples Center or Staples chair.
I thought you were going to take a shot at my sweater. I was going to swing.
No, but it's St. Patrick's Day and we're going to end this though. We'll have a little thing at the end, but we're going to end this with reading a couple reviews of the show. Thank you guys for leaving your reviews always. I love how Sev actually puts the name of these people in here. Okay. Our review number one comes from Arse Eater One. I hate you guys. Called Read This Comment. And it says, I have been listening to Elijah for months, ever since the world seemingly turned upside down. I have been using Slightly Offensive to stop my head from spontaneously combusting. Not once have I been any more than slightly offended. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Arse Eater. Continue to eat arse if you so choose. Mr. Noddle Time, title of their comment is, your show almost killed me. I was listening to episode 133 while in the gym, was doing bench press when you called Brian Stelter a fat and almost dropped the bar on my face from busting out laughing. Keep up the good work and telling the truth, which is not, it was also both a true statement. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for leaving your reviews. Your review might get read here. We like to read your reviews always. Lastly, I want to let you guys know by the end of this month, can you hold up our last member of the Diversity Coalition? We have a new member of our Diversity Coalition. We're looking for a name for him. If you guys can leave a comment, if you guys can leave a review and let us know your name, we're going to add him to the Diversity Coalition. He was given to us very lovingly by one of the viewers of the show. We really appreciate it. Anyways, guys, thank you so much again for watching. This is John Doyle from Heck Off Commie.
So true.
You can find all of his content and links to his social media down below. Thank you so much again for watching Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV with the best graphics ever. I don't know, cue confetti.
I was going to add it in post, but there we go.
Okay. My name's Elijah Schaefer, at least perhaps a top 17 host. And I always say, if I'm not in your top 17, that's bad because pretty much everyone's banned. Mm-hmm. So if I can't make it to the top 17, then I'm doing something wrong. It's true. You're supposed to say so true. Anyway,
I'm not your monkey.
Yeah. Have a great rest of the week. Please comment on John's sweater, which he wore in light of St. Patrick's Day.
The Aaron Wool. He doesn't get, he's like, where's your green fake Irishman? He doesn't understand.
Who, I don't know. I have like trans colors now behind me. I asked for fuchsia purple and light blue. And I became my show became a trans flag, which actually might prevent us from getting censored. I'm going to use that from now on and be like, my set is dedicated to transgender people.
I drove over here. I'm listening to like IRA fight songs. I'm ready to go. And Elijah's driving here. Like, how can I be more accommodating to the trans community today?
That's what it is, guys.
State of Elijah Schaefer.
That's what it is. I pledge allegiance to the trans community and Mossad. Don't delete me. Anyway, have a great rest of the week. And may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.